Now, that is Full Circle by the lovely, talented, brilliant Sharon Corr, who is, can I just say, a little bit depressing because it's not even 10:30. It's 26 minutes past. Grace and I are here. We shook out our hair here on 2FM. We got rid of our hair bands. We, you know, did a little Vaseline on the lips, and it's nothing to sitting opposite the most perfect, beautiful woman at this hour of the morning. Sharon, I'm a little bit depressed to see you, I have to say.
I'm very glad to hear it. Thank you.
Come here. You did a wonderful interview, the front cover of the Sunday Independent last week. And, you know, I've always would have followed you, you know, your career over the years, and looking at you on The Voice, and then to see you in person again, you're just, what's the story?
Oh, God, thank you very much. I certainly don't get up feeling lovely, but I'm really delighted to hear it. And any compliment coming my way, I grab. So thank you.
Listen, you've got a brand new album, The Same Sun, coming out. And, you know, you've been talking about some of the songs. And I have to say, that interview, I gripped it. Like, the one Sunday, you get on, same with you, you've two kids. So you're very busy, and trying to get a few minutes to go through
to
the
read.
Papers.
Yeah.
Don't you only get, but I dragged this. I still have it here. I dragged that around the house with me to make sure I read it. But it was just so lovely to see you and read you being, one, a really strong, confident woman.
Yeah.
Two, knowing yourself really well.
Yeah.
Three, sharing that with us, and also being totally honest. This just seems to be a really sort of a you know who you are, and your music is reflecting that.
Do you know, I really appreciate you saying that, and I can't say, you know, kind of how much that means, because it's hard to be that vulnerable and tell the truth. I mean, and I think we all know that, but I've kind of gotten to a stage in my life where I'm not ashamed of my truth. And, you know, I was talking to Barry Egan, who's a very good friend of mine, and I just said, look, Barry, I'm going to trust you here. And I said, I can't sit here and pretend the songs are about something other than what they're about. Some of them, one of them is definitely about not letting me return to being anxious. And then another one is definitely about, you know, what a woman thinks when she sees a guy, or, you know, that sort of way. And for me, it's kind of very much, it's a female album because obviously I'm a female, but I really believe very strongly in representing females in a way that's not negative. Do you know what I mean? In a way that equalizes, that tries to process the sort of female cause forward rather than backwards. Because I just see so many sort of overtly sexualized stuff nowadays, and I wonder why women have to be naked in order to sing a song. Why don't you just sing? And, you know, so for me, I think it's the time to say, you know, that black is black and white is white, and there is no in between. You're either talented doing that or you're doing something else, but let's call it what it is, you know.
And it doesn't mean by being, you know, that thing, we'll get to that in a second. Obviously, you were in, you know, one of the biggest bands ever to come out of Ireland, but, and a family group, but to be able to be that, to be able to be a woman who is obviously turned on by different things in life, who obviously, despite being extremely happily married, extremely busy with a family life and as a mom, to also have a sexuality by being nice doesn't mean being asexualized.
And that is the, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there, you know, because women are really extremely stereotyped. The song is not about being unfaithful. The song about is expressing the normal things that we feel and that we think. And we're not shy and retiring when it comes to wanting our husbands or our partners or whomever it is. I don't feel that way. And I know maybe that's a little bit too much to give away, but it's just that I just hate the stereotyping, and we're just so much more liberated than that, and we're animals at the end of the day. You know, let's not forget that.
Yeah, because I mean, there is always that thing. Look, and I really love men. This is not about in any way, because men are as different as each other, just like we are as different as each other. And that whole Freudian thing years ago of, you know, what is it that makes women tick? Is if men sit around in a huddle and discuss us as if we're all the same, and that if we do say, you know, yes, you're happily married, but you're allowed, go, God, that's a good look. Jamie Dornan just came to my head, okay?
Ryan Gosling, I would go for Ryan Gosling. It's like, hello.
But also, we're allowed to go, hello, baby. But also, they're, you know, they're talented.
And nothing about it.
Exactly.
You know, it's the idea of, there's nothing wrong with the thoughts. It's what you do with the thoughts that's the issue. Do you know what I mean? So, and that kind of is what determines you as a person, I think, as well. We all have these thoughts, let's face it. A gorgeous guy walks into a room, I turn around.
Yeah.
You know, a gorgeous girl walks into a room, a guy turns around, or a girl, depending on what way you're, you know, leaning.
But, if your relationship is very strong, you're able to turn around to your other half and go, God, that's, she's, you know, she's a good looking girl.
Yeah, you know. I mean, my husband loves the girl from, you know, the film Unfaithful. It was a great film, really sexy. What's her name? Now I can't believe I forgot her name.
51552. Someone's going to pop it up.
Somebody
here.
Somebody come in. He's like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. I said, stop talking about her. I forget her name.
But you know what? Well, someone's going to tell us. But I do that. I go, come on. I love, you know, let's say Jamie Dornan. I think he's gorgeous. But Diane Lane.
Diane Lane, good woman.
Hang on,
you got it.
Hang on. Now, come on.
She's
come here.
Beautiful.
No, yeah. Listen. You and she look kind of alike. So he is...
I wish.
I swear to God. Listen, women are shouting at the radio. You've got the cheekbones. You've got... She is stunning and you could be her sister.
She's got the bod though.
So that's you just reminded me. I've gone back to the depressing thing again. A slip of a thing. But no, it is that thing of... and you were really honest as well. You're saying, look, I'm in my 40s. And, you know, obviously it maybe that's easier to say when you look as lovely as you do. But no, you're saying you're in your 40s. And also... You know, when you were in the chorus, because there's four of you there,
yeah.
And you were the... Jim's older than you, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you're the eldest
yeah.
girl. And
yeah.
I have a little confession to make.
What?
I don't know if you remember this. And we were rushing early, so we didn't get a chance to tell you before. But do you remember your holidays in Skerries?
Yes, yes.
Do you remember that lovely chalet? That's what it's called, a chalet.
Yes.
Well, I used to hang out with my tiny... I'm talking... I know, oh, covering your face. I was I around 8? And I used to hang out with Caroline and
Andrea.
I loved Caroline. She's just the most beautiful girl. And Andrea used to hang out with my sister, Madalena. My brother, Shane, who's married with 2 kids, and I'm going to embarrass him now. You made his year if you walked by. Shane's Lockwood Grant. Married with 2 kids.
Half Shane, of, thank you.
Half the Skerries were in love with you, Sharon.
Oh.
But honestly, your mum, may she rest in peace, was such a lovely lady. Like, if it was lunchtime, the girls would go back and to get sandwiches or whatever it was. And if we were there popping our head around the door and your dad, they'd call us in and we'd have sandwiches.
My mother was so, she was such an Irish mum. She'd feed everybody. I know. We had lovely holidays in Skerries. We used to go for a month and, you know, we used to have good summers then as well, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it.
And I was very sad to hear after your mum passed away. And I said it, I bumped into Andrea and your dad in the weirdest place possible. I think it was Reynard's. I think it was my only time
of
being
course.
There. Yeah. And I met, but your dad was there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I know when you've said talked about your mum and you've talked about the loss and it is really hard.
Yeah.
But again, you're honest and you're sharing your grief, which is enabling other people to do that.
Yeah.
And to talk about the big loss and love in your life, you know, to have your... I lost my dad a few years ago and it's it's life altering.
It's awful, yeah. And I think the thing is that our basic instinct is to survive. But and you do that and you know you're lucky if you can do that. But you know you'll always miss them and you know it is really tough and it's really tough on my dad not having her because you know she was the love of his life. Like absolutely, they made music together and made all of us together. And,
but
you know,
people don't realise this. You guys, even then, you were on your holidays because your mum and dad were musicians. And even at that young age, I knew how important that was. Just as a tiny little dot in the outsides of your lives, as little friends are at that stage. And we knew, like, we'd say, OK, on Saturday, we're going home, we'll play Tip the Can for 5 hours or whatever we used to do.
Yeah,
you guys would end up going back to Dundalk because you may have a gig, there may have been music.
That's true.
Were all working so hard then and your parents were really organised and really loved their music and they gave that to you.
Yeah, they did. And I'm so grateful for it and you know my dad really you know nurtured us musically and my mum too and you know my mum sang like Karen Carpenter and that's why you can hear that inflection on my voice on this album. It's so funny, I feel like I'm being her in a way, being my mum, you know, but she taught me how to be a strong woman because she lived in an era where you couldn't be. You had to fit into boundaries. And I don't know, I look back and I go, how did she do it? Because she was fighting against these terrible structures that said, a woman must be this. And now I have license to not be that and I'm taking full license with it, you know. But you know, I just, it's almost on behalf of my mum that I would say the things that I say, you know.
And in the group, and when you know, you like I said, being the elder mum, you do the elder sister, you do take on that role of responsibility. And now, as a solo artist, you are able to be freed from that. So just tell us about that, because that's big.
I think, well, in honest, I think that got a little misinterpreted in the article, because I never said that I took responsibility, because I didn't. And I what I actually meant was, it wasn't really in reference to the cause. I mean, we really had to equalise the pecking order and like dismiss it in the end, because you know, you just kill each other with pecking order. I'm the oldest one, so therefore I'm doing this. It just doesn't work when you're on the road for 15 years, you know. So we had to kind of form like a democracy, which is incredibly difficult to do. What I kind of meant was taking responsibility was not for my brothers and sisters, but so much. I kind of took responsibility for everything, even when people didn't want it. I was one of those type of people that just always felt, oh, I really should do whatever I can for them. And I never really protected myself, and I didn't look after myself at all. And I think eventually, for me, then we came off the road in 2005. I was pregnant within a month. I had two babies back to back. And then I just kind of, I kind of was severely under par from sleep deprivation. And, you know, then I began to become anxious and suffered a little bit of anxiety and different things like that. But, you know, the thing for me is when other people tell me that they've been through that, I feel better.
Listen, this you country know. Is going through a huge thing. We're going through this. If you do, it's okay to not feel okay, all of that. Yeah. But yet, for you, how did that manifest itself, first of all?
It was, I would find myself in very bizarre situations where I would be getting my hair done and I would start to panic. And I would think, are they going to notice? And I would be terrified, you know, and I know too many people have had this situation, bring them right back to me. That's years ago. And you know, I'm glad I'm out the other side of it now. And I had to be very careful about getting enough sleep, looking after myself, not drinking too much alcohol, because that'll put me over the edge. Do you know what I mean? So it's, I have to be good and kind to myself in order to not go back there. But it really happened in the silliest situations, you know. And I think it was just, I was super tired and super stretched and a terrible worrier, and I'm not now. I had to learn how to not do that, and I literally taught myself from scratch how to rethink thinking.
How?
Well, I was introduced to a book unwittingly by a lovely friend of mine in Belfast. She was telling me about this great book that she was reading and was helping her. I hadn't even expressed the fact that I was experiencing anxiety. She told me it was The Power of Now. It's Eckhart Tolle. And I thought, I'm going to go read that. Like, she told me in a car park when we were getting into our cars one day. And I went off and read it. And he just sort of focused on the idea of, is there any benefit to your negativity, your constant berating of yourself, your constant questioning of every situation, you in every situation you're in, the kind of other voice in your mind going, that was ridiculous. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Holding me back permanently all the time from just being myself. And so I started to observe the negativity within myself, and then I started to try and separate, so give moments between it. And then I started to try and inject positivity. And that's the thing that I brought to the voice as a coach. And it's the thing that I was so adamant about with all of the artists that I worked with, because it got in the way of a couple of performances for me. It got in the way where I shook the whole way through, and I come off going, that's terrible. I love this. And I got out there and I was terrified. That's so wrong. It's so wrong. So when I got through it and learned how to do it, now I'm on stage and I'm like, I'm in heaven. This is fun. It's rock and roll. It's fantastic. This is brilliant. So I really worked on that in the voice, because you can get it below par. Something can happen to you emotionally or physically that then impacts on your performance if you do not have the structure within yourself to write it or to cope with it, you know.
Thank you for sharing that with us, because it is something that we all go through at different stages. Yeah. And especially when, you know, you've young children and your husband, and you're worried about your dad, obviously, as well. And that sandwich generation thing is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Was there any one time in particular when you were on stage and what happened? What goes through your head when you're up there on your own?
There were three really bad ones, two horrific ones. I had two young children in nappies, basically. I'd just done my first video shoot, which was 3 days long, and I hadn't experienced that before, being the whole centre of something, and it was just non-stop work, and sounds fantastic, but it really is quite a difficult thing to do, to let yourself go in front of camera. You want to be super confident, you know, like, I'm so fabulous. Who goes around thinking that, you know? So I was doing that for a couple of days. The kids were with me, and then I flew into London to do a radio show that was also in a theatre that went out to 8 million people. And I just was so tired. I was so tired and lacking confidence. And I just shook through the three songs and got off the stage. And it was like, oh, this is terrible, because look what I've achieved and look at my reputation. And I've just kind of trashed it by being so nervous. So I knew I had to do something about it then. And you know what? It happened to me once again. And then I really started putting in the structure to cope with it. And then I did the Isle of Wight about 3 years ago, and I was out the other side.
I loved
it. And I just loved it. I was completely out the other side, but I had to do a lot of work. Like, I really had to give myself a talking to. And my husband was an amazing rock through it. But it made him terribly nervous watching me be that nervous. Like, it was awful for
him.
That's
what I was going to say. Did anyone notice? Would only he have noticed? Or do you think people noticed that you were...
My issue was that I wouldn't express vulnerability. I was very guarded. And that was my biggest problem. If I'd been going around probably saying, I feel terrible, I feel like somebody go, sure, you'll be grand, don't worry about it, and somebody would help you. But I was so good at keeping up the exterior and protecting myself, that I was actually making myself worse internally. Now I let it all out, for the good or the bad.
For the good, because...
And that's it, you know.
Sharon, for the rest of us, you're allowing us, by speaking up as a strong, talented role model, you're allowing us to say, there's bad days, there are good days, there are bad days. And when this is who I am, I'm sharing that vulnerability with you, so you can do the same.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we really need that from each other. And just actually to be kind to yourself. You know, there's something about embracing all your quirks and your imperfections. And I mean, that's kind of what makes us interesting. Perfect is really boring.
Sorry to cut across you, but it's what makes your album so interesting. When you
read the
lyrics, you're going a journey in every single song. And in one of them, and yes, you do have the Karen Carpenter voice, as people will hear when they listen and go out there and get it. And it is that thing as well. You talk about the working mum thing, leaving the kids sometimes. That's very hard.
Yeah, it is. And it's two things, because I obviously I love my kids so much, and they're the most important thing to me. And I love my music so much and can't live without it. And so I have this constant, pull and drag, or like tug of war between the both. And I try to balance it. I try to get it right. I have a very supportive husband, and that's kind of how I do it. But, you know, I also want to show them that this is what a woman can do in life. I want them to that I go out and I take life by the whatevers, and I go and I make it what I want it to be, because I kind of believe we're only here once. And if I find out something different, that's fantastic. That's a bonus at the end. But I want to live it and make the most of my life right now, and use my talent, and not be afraid, and not look back when I'm 70 and go, why don't you just get out there and enjoy yourself, girl?
Do you do? Because I know you're running out of time. You're so busy, and we only have a couple more minutes with you. But what do you do? How do you love to let the hair down?
Well, I would never wear any makeup at home or high heels. I look like a tramp, and it's fantastic. I only do this to come into radio and TV or whatever. And I cook. I love cooking. I was with Clodagh McKenna this morning, and we had a great laugh together. She is a wonderful girl. So I love cooking, and I've plenty of sunken birthday cakes and all the rest, a total disasters. But I just kind of, you know, it's kind of like a quick fix in a way, in the fact that you create something and then you get sort of immediate gratification when you eat it. It's not a long term process.
Please tell me you're not one of these people who can eat everything that they want and have that figure.
I wouldn't say I am. No. As I get older, definitely. I was able to. for a while, for sure. Could put anything in there and be fine. But now I definitely have to watch. I have to go, okay, a little bit less of that would be good.
You know what? You came in, you looked amazing, got a little bit down. I'm on a high now. We all need to be good sometimes. Sharon, and it's so good talking to you.
You did
a
too.
Wonderful job on The Voice of Ireland. And
thank
a real
you.
Honour to meet you again
you
under
too.
These circumstances.
Yeah, that's so funny, yeah.
The same sun, your brand new album and the single Full Circle is out now. And you're going to be very busy touring and getting it out there. And we can't wait to hear more from you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.